You're welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we've been studying a Sunday school lesson on the Day of Pentecost called The Blessings of Pentecost, written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of April the 5th, 1925. And we've been talking about how it was on that day that the 12 apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First, there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Then there was tongues of fire that appeared to be sitting on those apostles, and yet they were not consumed. And then the apostles spoke, and they spoke in languages from the countries from which all those that had gathered together for that feast had come from, languages that were not their own, speaking to them the wonderful things of God. It might remind some of you that are familiar with the Old Testament stories of other events. You see, when Moses set up the tabernacle and had placed everything in it according to the pattern, Hebrews 8:5, which God had given, God filled it with His glory, Exodus 40:33-35. So He filled the temple and accepted it when Solomon had finished it according to the divine plan. 2 Chronicles 7:1-3, when Jesus had prepared living stones for His spiritual temple and had finished His work, God sent His Spirit at the right time and place and accepted it and filled it with His presence and His glory. And thus the Holy Spirit did for the apostles and the world all that was promised. Get your Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin looking in detail at verse 36 in just a moment. And while you're doing that, I will remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola, at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look together at Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom ye crucified. Peter took the lead on this occasion, because Jesus had promised to him the keys of the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 16:18-19. The keys could represent there the power to open, and therefore the privilege or the office of opening the kingdom to men came to him. Everything was now ready for this work. Peter's sermon on this occasion would necessarily be full and complete. It was the first one preached under the Great Commission, the first one after the ascension and coronation of Jesus, and the first sermon preached after the descent of the Holy Spirit. It states clearly and fully who Jesus is, also as clearly and fully the terms of salvation, as announced by Jesus in the commission. Thus, through the apostles, the Spirit bore witness of the life, the miracles, the sufferings, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and therefore of the Messiahship of Jesus. He pointed out different prophecies of which Jesus was the fulfillment. And if time would permit, we can analyze Peter's sermon and take note with great interest the course he pursued to prove that Jesus is the Christ and was then on the throne of David, and had shed forth the Holy Spirit on the apostles. Then he said, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified. This is a command to believe in Christ. Thus, in intelligent language, the Spirit bore witness of Jesus. Thus, he convinced and converted sinners. Thus, he influenced and persuaded them. Thus, he led them. Now let's read Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? When they heard this, the truth presented to them by the Holy Spirit speaking through the apostles is what they heard. More than once they were requested to listen to what the Spirit had to say. Hearing the truth spoken by the Holy Spirit convinced and convicted them of sin. They were pricked in their heart by what the Spirit said, by the facts presented. They trembled in their guilt and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? That is, what shall we do to escape from the consequences of this crime and the murder of Jesus? This question shows that they believed what Philip preached, and therefore in Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ of God, the Savior of men. This shows too, as Paul states, that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:14-17. This is the first time under the reign of Christ that this momentous question was pronounced, and the first time, of course, that it received an answer. Whatever may have been the proper answer under previous dispensations or on any previous day of the world's history, the answer given by Peter on this day of Pentecost, the day in which the reign of Christ on earth began, is the true and infallible answer for all such inquiries and all subsequent time. So said the old commentator, McGarvey. Here on this day at Jerusalem, repentance and remission of sins were first preached in the name of Jesus, as Jesus said would happen in Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 48. Note, in the name of Jesus. Never before were people commanded to do this in the name of Jesus. The disciples before had never prayed in Jesus' name. And the great question is answered in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And Peter said unto them, Repent. Repent ye and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The answer of the Holy Spirit through Peter to this all-important question is simple, plain, and unmistakable. Convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, the Christ, and the Savior of men, and convicted of their sins against Him, they could repent of such sins. Their faith in Jesus would lead them to this repentance. Those who repented not did not cease to believe in Jesus or trust God, but their faith was strengthened by their repentance and baptism. For faith is made perfect by obedience. Let's talk about repentance. Repentance is a turning away in godly sorrow from all sin. 2 Corinthians 7:10. I heard it expressed just the other day. Repentance is a change of will that results in a change of way. Sins of thought, word, and deed, secret sins, and known sins. He who repents is ashamed of and sorry for all sins alike because they're wrong, and turns away from all alike. It does not require a long time to repent. These people soon repented. Repentance occurs in the mind of man. The following is a short Bible reading on repentance, incentives and inducements to repentance, found in Matthew 11, 20 through 24, Matthew 12, 41, Luke 13, 1 through 5, and Romans 2 and verse 4. Let's read those passages. In Matthew 11, 20 through 24, we read, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, shalt thou be exalted into heaven? Thou shalt go down into Hades, for the mighty works had been done in Sodom, which were done in thee. It would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." We read in Matthew 12 and verse 41, "The men of Nineveh shall stand up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." We read in the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. "There were some present at that very season who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered and said unto them, Think ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they have suffered these things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all in like manner perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them, think ye that they were offenders above all the men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And we read in Romans chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "Reckonest thou this, O man, who judgest them that practice such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" We know from 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 that godly sorrow precedes repentance and works repentance. Repentance is a turning away from all sin with a changed purpose and with the determination to serve God. The penitent has a humble and contrite heart, Psalm 34:18. He's ready to confess his sins, Mark 1 in verse 5. He feels and acknowledges his unworthiness, Luke 15:18 through 21. He desires to right all wrong so far as is in his power, and shows by his fruits that he has repented, Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. "God commands all men everywhere to repent," Acts 17, 30 and 31. Peter said, "Repent," and he also said, "Be baptized, every one of you." That is, all who believe and repent. Those who had not believed and repented not would not be baptized in obedience to God and could not be baptized in obedience to God. Baptism means to be dipped, buried, immersed, overwhelmed, and all the Greek English lexicons so define it. There's no other word in the Bible so well defined and whose meaning has been so sought as this one. All religious people agree that one who has been immersed in faith, in penitence, in obedience to God, has been baptized.